tuned into the greatest.
You are now tuned into the greatest.
Oh my God.
It's the Fearless Podcast with Arian Simone.
Guess what? Our 10-year anniversary is coming up in 2020, and in celebration of it, we are having our Fearless Week, September 14th through 20th, 2020, in Atlanta, Georgia. Be sure to check out the link and get your tickets on Eventbrite. You do not want to miss this. We have something for the children, for the teens, for the college students, for the men, for the women, for everybody, for your family. We have 7 days of full-fledged events for this celebration. You want to be involved. You may want to be a speaker. You may want to be a vendor. So be sure to contact us, and we would love to have you as a participant. This is going to be an amazing time that you do not want to miss out on. Nicole, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How are you?
Hi, Arian. How are you?
Girl, I am absolutely excellent. I'm absolutely excellent. What part of the world are you in?
I am in Miami right now. I relocated to South Florida, so this is new home.
Oh my gosh. Okay, you said you relocated to South Florida. Do you live in Miami, or did you drive down to Miami for fun and you're in the area?
I live in Fort Lauderdale, but I have a lot of Super Bowl accounts coming up, so a lot of my meetings are in Miami leading up to Super Bowl Miami in February.
Out there having all the fun. But question, does it feel like home?
I'm not sure what it feels like, but it feels good.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It feels really good. The diversity feels really good that I can expose my son to that. So I grew up, you know, Atlanta. So I do feel like it was very good. I had like all that Black girl magic and Black empowerment and all those different things, because I don't operate in like fear from that at all. Like I feel very confident in my Blackness. But I did not get that diversity experience growing up. And so like my son, he's in like this little cooperative daycare. And so they're learning Spanish and English at the same time. So he's going to, you know, languages immediately. Whereas me and Spanish took a long time to get.
Yo, entiendo el español. Say tú hablo despacio. I understand Spanish if you speak slowly. I get you.
Yeah. So yeah, it feels good. And then the weather is unbeatable. So, you know, that part in itself too.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And I like your reaction to it. You're like, I don't know what it feels like, but it feels good. And that's all that matters, to be truthful. That's all that matters. So for those of you guys who do not know, we are on the phone with Dr. Nicole Garner-Scott. Doctor, yes. One of my girlfriends, and she is the founder of the Garner Circle PR. And this is the entrepreneurship series. Season 3 is all about entrepreneurship and where our entrepreneurial journey started. Now, we met probably, 15 years ago, 14 years ago, somewhere around there.
Yeah, when you were just getting to Atlanta.
No, I didn't live in Atlanta.
You were visiting. That's right.
I was probably working South the Yard or something. And we were both starting our PR firm. So this was early on for us. Oh my gosh. But did you ever work for somebody?
Well, you said, was I working for somebody? No.
Did you ever?
I did for like a year right after I graduated. I did for a year, and then they lost some of their main accounts. They had like massive cutbacks. So then I decided I'm gonna take, you know, my company and go full time. Very quickly.
You were forced into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, well, I was still running my business at the same time. So my senior year, I went to Georgia State University. And my senior year of college, I had a really cool internship with an agency that was doing this campaign for Delta Airlines. And basically it was to really expose young African-American boys to the aviation industry. And so I just ate that project right on up. I was like, ooh, we get to get, you know, some young Black boys to get a chance to, like, you know, put being a pilot on their radar. We were flying them to the Smithsonian, the Aviation Smithsonian in D.C., and they were getting, you know, a chance to, like, fly planes and, I mean, plane simulations and all this stuff. And it was, like, you know, young Black boys, like, 13, 14, 15 years old. So it tapped into some of my passion. And I was like, oh, this is excellent. So I went really, really hard in the project and ended up giving about 800 boys the experience, because I was finding them, you know, in so many different places, because I, you know, I'm just very connected to the community because it's the community that I was from. And so when I got ready to graduate, the agency I was working with, you know, they could really care less about the project, but they wanted to keep it going. So they were like, great, we'll just contract this out to you. And so that ended up being my first client. They were, you know, they called and they were like, basically, you know, we're going to get you signed up as a vendor, send us over your W-9, send us your, you know, bank account information. We'll sign these contracts and basically this account is yours. And I was like, okay.
I'm pretty sure you did say, okay, yeah.
You know, what else do I need to do to hurry up and make my company legit? So that was my first client. And that was my last semester at Georgia State. So I started working 9 to 5, and then I was doing, you know, the 5 to 9 with my own, those projects and those different things. And I thank God for that, because by the time the company I was working for had their cutbacks, I was in a place where I had Garden Circle really starting to move and starting to roll. And my, I would say my big first clients was the late Kim Porter and her organization called Three Brown Girls. So it was Ebony Electra, Nicole Cook, and Kim Porter. And that was like my intro into like entertainment PR and really dealing with, you know, a lot of that stuff.
Did you know as a child you always wanted to be an entrepreneur?
I did. I, you know, when I was like 5 and 6 years old, I think that entrepreneurial spirit bit me very, very early in life. And so while I was at school, I was always like the candy lady. And I became the candy lady by accident. I remember being at school, I had some extra candy. Everybody was asking. And I was like, okay, well, this comes at a price. And and people started paying for it. I think my mom had like a Sam's card. And we were getting these like blow pops and other things. She just, my mom and dad always are like bulk, buying bulk type people. And so I would go to school, I would sell them, I'd bring it back. And I'd be like, mom, you know, I have my own money to go get stuff. And you know, when we go to the store, I don't even have to ask you, I have my own money. And she was like, where are you getting this money from? candy, and I was selling my chips. And so I think my parents recognized very early that I had a entrepreneurial spirit, so it could go the wrong way really quickly too. Like this, once you start seeing that you like money and you like to make your own money, you need to keep your child in a place where it's positive interactions with that and not the distractions of the world. So they really did a lot to keep me on a good path to understanding entrepreneurship, you know, understanding budgets, understanding, you know, my inventory when I was young, and just putting me around people, because they weren't necessarily entrepreneurs themselves, but they would expose me to people and let me ask questions and, you know, all of that good stuff. And that's one thing, you know, being born and raised in Atlanta, I saw a lot of Black wealth very young. I didn't necessarily come from that. I came from, you know, we call it Collard Park. Georgia, which is so I'm from Atlanta, like true old Atlanta. So you know, I grew up in very, very humble neighborhood, but I was exposed to Black wealth very young. So I knew that I had the right to get there with my life. It's just, it's just what decisions did I choose to make and how did I, you know, choose to strategize to get there, but I never felt like it was out of my reach. So they, you know, they did a real good job of helping me get into that. But I always tell people I went to college just trying to figure out how I could work for myself. I knew I didn't have the business side. I knew I had the passion and I knew I had, you know, skill set. I was really good at PR. I was really good at, you know, connecting people and gift the gab and, you know, those different things, but actually how to run a business, I wanted to learn in college. And I tell like my mentees and interns now that you guys got it so easy because there's entrepreneurship programs and, you know, everyone respects entrepreneurship now. Whereas now, when I was doing it, it was like,
it wasn't sexy before.
It wasn't. It's it like, when you gonna get a real job? You know, why are you wasting time? A lot of, unfortunately, and that's why I'm so passionate about giving back in the space. I think that the generations ahead of us, like the Black women ahead of us, would be in spaces where only one person could get the jobs. Now, because of entrepreneurship and just technology and the global landscape, you could create your own money. You can get money together. You could collaborate together. And really, you're only going to survive in a collaboration and a growth. There was just not a lot of people trying to help me. I remember when the two of us sat down and I knew we were on the same wavelength because it was like, okay, how can I help you? How can I help you? I want to help you. Like, it's been like that since the very first day we met without even knowing anything about each other. That was just our spirit and that was our intentionality with how we were going to approach entrepreneurship our way. And I feel like that's why we're still around. We're still thriving. We've expanded into new spaces because we understood very early on that, you know, your blessings and that reciprocity is a muscle that you continue working. The more you help somebody,
yes,
the more you continue to be helped. And to this day, I can always call you for anything. You can call me for anything. And when we put each other in business spaces, we're still very professional with each other and we want to see each other win at the highest level. And that type of relationship capital has kept us both around, you know, for we're not old, but we've been around for some decades. Those are just some key things we learned. We learned and we set intentionally very on in our careers.
I love all this because these are just great life principles for people who are, you know, aspiring for entrepreneurship. But take just a few minutes to just brag on yourself. You explained how you got into it and what your desires were as a child. But just let some of the people know some of the projects that you have worked on.
So on the PR side, right now, we really have a strong focus on corporate entities. So Hyundai is one of our clients. And they're like an official sponsor of Super Bowl. So that's why I was telling you we're like in Super Bowl mode. For those different things. And we handle their nonprofit, which is Hyundai Hope on Wheels. So that caters to exposure and funding for pediatric cancer. So that is a very strong project that we handle their national rollout, their national activations and those different things. And through the years, we have worked with, you know, a ton of different things from, you know, very high level films to brands from Xbox to L'Oreal to we work with LeBron James on some of his Take Flight projects in the beginning. Just a lot of different things across the space. And I think that's the beauty of entrepreneurship too, is like every day can look different. This point in my life, having my son, I kind of went more for like the corporate sector because I need a little bit more of that reliability of what each day looks like. Because, you know, I can't just pop up and say, hey, I'm going to go be out the country for 2 months tomorrow. And then, you know, figure out what I'm doing with my son childcare wise. So I have to have a little bit more structure at this chapter and at this stage in my life. So that led me more towards our corporate accounts. But through the years, it's been a really excellent journey. And then I would say I'm a serial entrepreneur by heart. So in the last few years, I actually launched my financial services company, which is called Amount Financial.
She's just taking away all my questions, but keep going.
Okay.
Go ahead. Well, let's pause for 1 second and we can get to that transitional shift of just expansion.
Okay.
Because there's two things here. One, I wanted to hone in on the fact that you are a wife and a mother and that you do have it all and your intentions on making sure that you had it all.
Well, thank you, first off. And when I was young, I really started to, like in the beginning of my entrepreneurship journey, I just started to study women who looked like they had it all to me. And as I would get to see them better or see their lives better, I would realize like one area is really thriving and the other area was completely falling apart. So the business would be booming, penthouse office, all of that. Marriage falling apart, or you know, securing contracts all across the nation, but child was flunking out of school and you know, was having issues from their parents not being around. And so I was like, you know, how does this work? Like, did I enter into the space of being an ambitious woman and I really want a family and these other things? Like, can it all exist? And so, you know, I just kept really trying to find examples of that existing and, you know, reading as much as I could, talking to people and everything. And I even started to really operate out of burnout in the beginning, like in my 20s and in my beginning stages of my company. Like I was, you know, every check that was out there to get, I wanted every check, every opportunity. I was like, let me get that. You need PR? Yeah, you need me. And so I was, you know, I mean, just really operate in a spread as thin as possible. And, you know, I saw that I was starting to like mess up my relationships with my friends. They started not, you know, inviting me anymore because they'd be like, you know, Nicole, I know you're going to be busy. No point in inviting you. My relationships were going really bad because I just wasn't giving any energy to them. I was like, you know, if you're not a part of me making great moves, then it's a waste of time. And I just wouldn't be present in those relationships. So those went bad too. And I started gaining a lot of weight, you know, just from lack of sleep and everything else. And my mentor, and I thank God for her because she just completely set me on another direction in life. But she was like, what is the point of you building all of this, you know, trying to create a legacy, building, you know, an empire for yourself, and you don't even take a second to enjoy it? And she was like, you know, I see your health, like you're gaining weight at like a rapid amount. And she was like, if you are not even, you know, putting your health as a priority, then you're going to build this company, and then you're going to get to the point where you can't even enjoy it, and it's going to be a life that you want to escape from. And so she was like, you got to start reprioritizing yourself and figuring out, digging deeper into what your why is and start really designing your life for how you want it to look.
Mm-hmm.
I knew back then, I was like, I know I want a family. So I know I need to create some space in my life and I need to create some boundaries in my life. I knew that I wanted to be able to live. I didn't want to, you know, take a vacation once every 5 years or you know, be at a space where I just operated, you know, still in burnout. So I really started being intentional about the people that I worked with, the energy of the situation, the vibes of the situation, what business I intentionally wanted to go after, what business I knew to stay away from, just all of that type of stuff. And then just focusing on taking care of me. You know, I know that your audience ranges from like millennials to our generation to, you know, the generation above. And I just think that self-care is starting to become more prominent, but especially for entrepreneurs, like your self-care could almost define your sanity because.
Oh, you ain't lying.
Yeah. Because you're relying on you. Like you don't eat if you don't move. And that's a whole nother type of stress. Like that's just a whole nother mindset you're operating off of. And so you have to show up as your best self as much as possible. And you got to show up as your highest version of yourself. And the only way you could do that is to take time away. And I know social media makes us all have that fear of missing out. Like, you know, who knows what's going to happen if I don't make this. And I see everybody went to Essence Fest. I see everybody went to the BET Experience. I see everybody went to the Grammys. And I, you know, I had my son about a year and a half ago now. I took a few months off of just enjoying motherhood. And I didn't miss a beat. Everything was still there when I got back. The things that I didn't attend that year, I just attend the next year. Like it's nothing new, and you know it's nothing that you can't get back to. So, you know, you take those moments and you take the time out, and the world will adjust accordingly. Like men do it all the time. That you know they if they gotta take a moment, they will. They'll go on a trip. They'll go to Vegas. They'll go. You know they'll hop on some island. Anything, it's just like, oh, I need a break. But women feel like we got to keep pushing through it, but that's just to our own detriment.
That is good. That is good. And that's so interesting how your mentor told you basically that you were building a life that you were going to desire to escape from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is serious. Mm-hmm. That is definitely a pivotal moment where you're like, okay, I got to make some changes quick.
Yep. Yeah.
Quick. Now, question, does your mentor have it all or is she more of a business mentor?
I feel like she has it all. And she's definitely one of the people I study very closely. And I think my definition of having it all at this point in my life doesn't mean you have it all on the same day or even in the same season. But you give time to see your different heart's desires come to fruition. So
and people talk about mentorship a lot. How did you meet this woman, and is she in your field?
So yes, she's in my field, and I met her because in college I tried to intern with her. She didn't have—
Are you able to say who it is?
Yeah, her name is Deanna Mahaffey.
I was like, I'm keeping it quiet because you're keeping it quiet.
No, she's one of my sorors, and she does a lot. Like she really does a lot on her plate. And I think she saw some of me in her, like, you know, a little bit of the team too much. Like we both do a lot. And, I think she saw where I was going, that she needed to kind of like snatch me up in that space. But, she is very present with her family. She's very present in business, and she continuously grows herself. And to me, that's like very much having it all. And also, you know, I have mentors in my head too. Like I go to a lot of conferences and those different things. And I remember going to a conference a few years ago with Lisa Price, creator of Carol's Daughter. And someone asked her, like, how are you managing all of this? This is when she was doing the stores, the expansion. She was like, every single part of the company, and she had her kids and she had her husband and, you know, just those different things. And she said, I just give myself grace. She was like, on Monday, I'm probably not going to be the best mom. I'm going to be the best business woman. On Tuesday, I'm going to be a great mom. And it's something from the business is going to fall through the cracks. On Wednesday, I'm going to be an amazing wife. And my child's going to be like, you missed this at school. She was like, and I just give myself grace. Like, I'm going to be good at one of those titles, one of those days of the week, and that's going to be fine with me. And I'm not going to beat myself up or have a lot of guilt on the days I can't be perfect, because perfection just doesn't exist. And I remember I just owned that statement. She said, you know, I was like, okay, I'm going to own that. Like, there's this unrealistic perception that we feel like women who have it all have perfection in their blood. Like they manage everything all from a perfection level, and it's sometimes it's just all about just moving forward with it and giving it the best shot you can, you know.
That is beautiful. Now, we can rewind a little bit when you were going into your other ventures. You and I both are serial entrepreneurs, but one thing I do want the audience to be fully aware of is that we definitely succeeded at one thing first, which was our PR businesses, before mm-hmm. we ventured off into having all these other ventures.
Right.
Because so many people want to get involved in so much. I'm like, but you need to succeed at something first, too.
Yeah.
And then go do all these different things. So let the audience know what you're working on currently. I mean, you've had from co-working spaces to nail shops. But we both had a nail shop, but keep going.
Yeah. So to piggyback off of what you said about succeeding at something. So you have to get deep into a business to see all the different aspects of business, to really know what's your zone of genius, what's your gift, and things that you're not gifted at. And you know, working a business fully through, you start to see that. Then you start to understand, like, what's your delegation system? You know, how does technology help you? Understanding sales, understanding pitching yourself, understand what you're looking for in good team members, how your personality works in business. We all have our personalities amongst our friends. And sometimes you feel like that transition is over, but sometimes it's completely different. Sometimes you think you're so cool because you got all these girlfriends, but you're really in business. You're really not that cool. And you need to know those things about yourself. So through my first venture, the Garden Circle, I learned what I knew, what I was good at, what I didn't know, what I needed to know, and what I needed to outsource. So doing a second and third business, I knew those things. And also, each one of those businesses that I did, all of them weren't successful. So I also had a parameter of when I needed to have an exit out of certain situations because they weren't meeting the marks that I knew were achievable. That was in Atlanta, Georgia, before like all the WeWorks and WS and all the rest of those came. So that business just ended up being like, either I would have to spend an astronomical amount of money to enter into the market as a big player, or the timing, you know, just was what it was. So that was that. With the nail business, that was like an investment opportunity that I got into. And I realized that I work really well with dealing with motivated people, and I don't work well with dealing with people that need a lot of handholding. And so that's something I learned as well. It just brought me to different spaces in my life. But a few years ago, I started doing a lot of business coaching and just really sitting down with women, especially in the entrepreneurship space, and helping them with their businesses, get to the next level, scale, those different things. And I thank God that people could be very transparent with me. But as I was sitting down with a lot of people, when you live in like fast moving cities, New York, LA, Miami, Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, I'll shout you out. Because Detroit is popping. I was just in Detroit a few weeks ago at a conference from one of your sorority sisters, Kimberly. But I was speaking at her conference. And Detroit girls get it popping. I will definitely say that. When you're in a fast-moving city, entrepreneurship starts to become a buzzword. It's like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur too. Oh, what do you do? Oh, nothing, but I will be doing something by tomorrow. You know, like it catches on very quickly without a lot of the due diligence going into it. And so as I was sitting down with a lot of women, they were starting to say, you know, Nicole, I did whatever, you know, I went to this conference. I did what, you know, this speaker said, do is like, quit your job, jump into entrepreneurship. But now I'm about to lose my house. Or, you know, I started my boutique, but now we're about to get evicted from the boutique. And I started noticing, like, outside of just branding and exposure and marketing and even business structure, there was such a large gap on the financial side. Like, how did it get this far? How did it get this bad so quickly? And there was no understanding about, like, cash flow management and you know, just
really- and that is serious cash flow management. I don't know which podcast we were having that discussion. See, we learned that because we were heavily in a service related business for a good duration, and you still are. And we don't have a choice but to learn it, because you see these big checks coming, and it may be 3 months down the line, it may be 2 months down the line. So we're by nature having to budget accordingly. But keep going.
You have to. And I think because we both got into entrepreneurship so young, we didn't have disillusions about it. It was, you know, like you saw in the beginning, you might work a movie and you get this big check, and it might be 3 months, 4 months before the next movie project comes around. So we didn't have this, you know, like, okay, I can operate on what people say. And then I feel like we didn't fool with people or trust people from the beginning. Like you know, like a lot of people get into entrepreneurship now are too trusting that everything will be paid immediately on time and those types of things. I always give buffer room. Now you're gonna you're here for my accountant, and it's not gonna be cool to ever late. But you would. But I know that those things might happen at some entrepreneurship now, especially coming from the corporate space where a lot of that was handled for you. You had a whole accounting department, you had a whole social media department, and a whole marketing department. So you sat in on meetings and heard those things, but you didn't know the day to day of what was going on. And so then you have this belief that everybody will do what they said they'll do. It's time to even find people who keep their word and people who operate in doing good business. So, so I started dealing with a lot of that. And even people who feel like they can miraculously operate their finances for their business, but their personal finances were completely shot or all over the place, or, you know, a complete mess. And I'm like, well, sis, how do you feel like you're gonna, you know, like God's gonna put this new credit card on your plate and all your other credit cards are maxed out? Like that's not how this works. And so I really started just, you know, bringing in people, having more talks about money. And then I started getting some certifications because I felt like people trust me. And this is an area that I'm very passionate about, of seeing people win. And then also I wanted to just start leaving a larger impact through PR. I'm able to leave like a corporate impact. I feel like I'm able to give a voice to a minority spectrum that don't necessarily get a voice. So if I'm doing a big red carpet event, I'm making sure that, you know, that Black press is on the carpet that always get overlooked by general market agencies. Or I'm making sure that stories are getting told of people of color that may have not got out there. But I wanted to start leaving a deeper impact, you know, as my, you know, having a child and understanding the legacy more and wanting to provide legacy in its truest form for him. And then also wanting to help my family change their money story. I just started getting more into that. And that led me to opening my company, Amount Financial. And I do business and money coaching. And for me to be like, Erin, okay, I see you're working this project. How much did they pay you for that? We should get to a space in our community where it's like, okay, they paid me this, so that you know you aren't being...
Yeah, money is not, shouldn't be taboo.
Yeah. So you know you're not undervaluing yourself or... you know, putting yourself in a position where you're working for pennies and your counterpart is working for what they really worth and is for what they're really worth. And it's only because they knew to ask for that. And to tell them, hey, you need to be charging more. Like, what are you doing? And so just creating more events, spaces, and opportunities for us to talk about money more and to really get our finances under control. I had a chance to go to an event the other day. It was a masterclass. It was put on by a good friend of mine, Malik Teal, with Curl Box. And I was just talking to the women about, in the entrepreneurship space, everyone acts like retirement doesn't exist. When you're in corporate America, you're naturally saving for retirement. You have your IRA set up, and hopefully you're maxing out your IRAs, and you know, you're tapping into your 401ks, and you're looking at, the conversation is there. When you're sitting down with HR from the beginning, the conversation is there.
in the entrepreneurship space, unless you have a financial planner or a wealth manager, those conversations are being skipped. And then you're wanting to spend all every dollar you have back into the business. You know, you feel the pressure to keep up with having a photo shoot once a week and, you know, doing it for the gram and all those different things. And you forget that retirement is on you. And so, you know, just reminding people in the entrepreneurship space, like, you have got to be intentional on structuring out how you want this financial journey to look, making your company willable. If anything was to happen to you, do you have more than an Instagram account to pass on to your family? You know, just those.
I know that's the truth.
Just those type of conversations. And it's so good. I don't know how much you talk about on your podcast, Erin, but even you being in the investor space and showing other, you know, women of color that how you can get money and live their dreams. Like, we can't do anything as a community when we're in the space of being broke, because you're living out of a vulnerable space. Like, you're able to help with your venture capital fund. You're able to help other companies see their businesses scale and grow and get to that master level of life. But you can only do that because you're in an abundance chapter of your life right now. So one life lesson that I would leave everybody who's listening is to define what the win is for this season and this chapter in your life. So social media has us in a space where we start to adapt other people's definition of what the win is. We start to, live in that imposter syndrome and compare ourselves and all those different things. And as we were just talking about, you know, you say having it all and those different things, it's just because I intentionally define what does winning look like for me? How do I want that to transpire and manifest into this life at this time? And so because the race of life doesn't have like a starting point and an ending point, you kind of don't know where you are on this race. So you have to act with urgency, and you have to really act with intention for that entire journey. So I sit down, you know, a lot of people don't believe in vision board parties and those type of things. I do. I actually remember coming to one of your vision board parties, Arian, a few years ago. But to lay out your vision and to map that up with your spiritual intention on top of that, it very much works for me. It's good for me to say, okay, in 2020, I want to work with these people. I want this to transpire. I want this type of opportunity to come my way. Like, I'm very much into laying out how I want the year to look. And when I get to the end of the year, I'm able to have something to reflect upon. So I think that people who are like, I'm over New Year's resolutions, it's because you don't really set yourself up for the win. And so that's why I'm like, you know, if I leave the audience with anything, is definitely determining what that win is, how you want to feel, how you want to operate, how you want to live, how you want to succeed. All of those things add into the win, because nothing in life happens by chance.
That is amazing. That is amazing, Nicole. Thank you for sharing all of your wisdom and your experiences here on the Fearless Podcast. And until next time,
so
I will talk with you soon. Take care.
Hey, it's Arian Simone. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. If so, be sure to click subscribe. Be sure to give us a 5-star review, and be sure to make sure that you are following us on social at Fearless_.
Thanks for tuning in to the Fearless Podcast with Arian Simone. Subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review.